This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So remember in the 80s, McDonald's came out with a McPizza? Did you run out and buy the McPizza? I didn't. McDonald's was such a treat. You know, we didn't get it often, that when we did get it, I wasn't going to waste my one shot at McDonald's on pizza. I love pizza, but I'm like, I really love my little McDonald's burger. I'll be fine. And the McPizza didn't last too long. Well, now they might have a McPlant burger. So vegan brand Beyond Meat has announced that it has entered into a 3-year global strategic partnership with fast food chain McDonald's. Through the partnership, Beyond Meat will help McDonald's develop new plant-based menu options through its newly announced McPlant platform. A McPlant. It does sound delicious. It's better than eating a plant. I'm going to have a McPlant. They say their new McPlant platform is all about giving customers more choices when they visit McDonald's. That's according to Francesca DiBiase, McDonald's Executive Vice President and Chief Supply Chain Officer. She said, we're excited to work with Beyond Meat to drive innovation in this space and enter into the strategic agreement. It is an important step in our journey to bring delicious, high-quality, plant-based menu items. So back in 2019, McDonald's first began testing the PLT burger, the plant, lettuce, and tomato burger. They made a partnership with Beyond Meat at select locations in Ontario, Canada. After the test was concluded, McDonald's announced, so it looks like it was successful, that they were going to launch the McPlant platform used to develop future plant-based items. This month, McDonald's launched a McPlant burger in Sweden until March 15th and in select Denmark locations until April 12th. So they want to roll out a meatless burger later to locations in other markets. Now, McDonald's initially hesitated to confirm that Beyond Meat was behind its McPlant patty. But the new partnership probably means that Beyond Meat is kind of behind this. So under this agreement, they're going to explore, you know, plant-based chicken, plant-based pork. So the McRib might be a McRubarb. I don't know. And then their egg as well, a plant-based egg. They said, we are proud to enter the strategic global agreement with McDonald's. This is, they say, it's exciting. Now, what about KFC, Pizza Hut, and Pepsi? Well, Beyond Meat founder CEO Ethan Brown said that McDonald's partnership will also start a similar partnership. This will kind of pen a similar partnership with Yum Brands. Now, Yum Brands owns KFC, Pizza Hut, so they could start developing plant-based options. They say last month, Beyond Meat also created a joint corporation called the Planet Partnership with food and beverage giant PepsiCo. So Beyond Meat and Pepsi will develop, produce, and market plant-based snacks and beverages. So this is huge. Some might wonder, is fast food going to survive with all the changes, whether it's the minimum wage, whether it's what happened with the pandemic? Fast food stayed fairly strong throughout the pandemic, especially if they had a drive-through. I still see lines at all hours of the day at In-N-Out. In-N-Out Burger, dang. I mean, those lines, same thing with Chick-fil-A. So there are some, shall we say, fast food, you know, restaurants and brands that I think are going to withstand anything. You have others that, you know, didn't have drive-through, and I think they got hurt. I think a lot of Subway restaurants got hurt. I think a lot of, maybe not Subway, but sub-sandwich restaurants, I should say, because you have to go in, you have to, you know, choose. But, you know, I've picked up food to go, and I've parked my car, and I've walked into places. There's a place that has falafel and shawarma. I'm not a big falafel fan, but I do like shawarma. That place is always crowded. You know, if you have good food and you have something people want, they're going to get it. So will people want plant-based meat? So I did try the Burger King Impossible Whopper, plant-based. It was fine. It tasted good. It tasted, I was fine with the taste. The only thing is, you know, I am kind of concerned about what chemicals I'm taking in. I mean, I would rather eat things in their more natural form. You know, I have a big problem with sugar-free drinks, sugar-free items, because even though we need to avoid sugar, I just wonder how much healthier we're being when we consume things that have all these added preservatives and certain, you know, I don't know, tricks of the trade to make something taste sweet or to make something taste meaty. Now, for those of you that eat fast food, it should be rare. So if you have a way to swap red meat with something plant-based, that's great. But if you eat fast food many times a week, I just don't know cumulatively how much of that is safe. And that's the thing. You know, something, it might be a safe hamburger, but I don't know if they're testing the average person who consumes things more than they should. You know, like energy drinks. 80 milligrams of caffeine in an energy drink is actually less than a cup of coffee. So that's why energy drinks overall are found to be safe. I mean, from an FDA standpoint. But if the average person is downing 2-3 of them and then putting themselves into a heart rhythm, now that's not safe. So I would suggest that as they do test these plant-based, you know, ways to do meat and, you know, making something look like it's beef and taste like it's beef, I would like to see studies of the average, let's say, high school student or college student that eats takeout 5 days a week, probably even more. And if they find that these things start to, you know, these ingredients might not be healthy in large doses or over time, I think the public needs to be aware of that, because I foresee a market. I see that I do see that fast food chains are going to be flexible and try to be competitive and offer these other options, and they could charge more because it's quote unquote plant based. But you know, that's supposed to be a once in a while thing. It's not supposed to be 5 days a week. 1-877-DOC-LA.
This is sponsored by Pharmacyclics, an AbbVie company, and Janssen Oncology. While the pandemic has altered our regular way of living, it's still important to work closely with your doctor. Did you know that chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL, a type of slow-growing cancer, is the most common form of leukemia in adults? It's important to keep your doctor's appointments, as some CLL patients do not have symptoms, but learn of their diagnosis through routine blood tests. Dennis, diagnosed with CLL in 2013, urges patients to talk to their doctor and be proactive in the conversation, sharing.
I try to think ahead. It's a definite teamwork between you and your doctor. You're going to get the best results if you ask the right questions and your doctor knows that you are a part of the team.
Don't let the pandemic keep you from being proactive about your health. Keep your regular checkups and learn about CLL by visiting knowyourcll.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have fake rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you you want if you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch? We can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen, and big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So today is Stoney's birthday, and my baby Stoney turned 21 today. Yay! Happy birthday, little Stoney Tushi! He's my little baby boy. He's my little cupcake Tushi! He turned 21. So in the same year, I have an 18-year-old. My younger one, Brocky Boo, turned 18. Yeah, that's old Brocky Tushi. Brocky turned 18, and now Stoney turned 21 today. So, and then hubby had a birthday too, but it wasn't a milestone birthday. This was, my kids are now 18 and 21. And so I don't know if you all went through or are going to go through what I'm kind of going through right now, because when you reach this milestone with your kids, you start to stop and reflect, did I do everything I was supposed to with these kids? Because they're adults. Both my kids are adults. One is going to be able to bar crawl and go into, actually they both could go into strip clubs now, because I think some strip clubs are open until 18. But, you know, have I prepared my kids, not for a strip club, but have I prepared my kids for the real world? And as a mom, ever since you give birth to them, and don't worry, I won't go into the details of giving birth to baby Sony. Nobody ever wants to hear about that anyway. He was like a little egg. Basically, it was an egg. I laid the egg, scrambled the egg up, made an omelet, showed daddy, look, here's our little egg. And he just grew up into a little bitty chicky, and then now he's like this big boy. I don't know the analogy I want to use. But when you're a mom and you give birth, okay, and I can't speak for anybody else because this was me as a mom. You give birth to a baby and you're like, I'm going to screw this up. I go, this baby relies on me. And I was never like a screw up, but I was always a class clown. And I didn't think I could do the job. You never can. Meanwhile, so I got pregnant on purpose. My second year of residency, we planned it, I mean, to a T, so I could have the baby during my third year of residency after I finished delivering all my babies and taking care of all my core classes, and then I only had electives left in my residency. And being a third year chief resident, things start to really lighten up your final semester. So we planned it so that I would be able to give birth, so I gave birth February 26th of my final year in residency on purpose. And luckily, thank God, everything went well. It was a very difficult pregnancy because when you're in the medical profession and you're always on your feet and you don't drink enough water, you end up having oligohydramnios or less fluid. And he didn't have enough fluid in there, and so we thought we had to start inducing on February 22nd. And I was induced. Contractions were going on, but baby, he wasn't coming out. So by February 24th, this was of 2000, my husband, it was his birthday, I was sick of being in the hospital. I'd already been in labor for about 3 days. The baby's not coming out. Now the fluid's fine. So I went home, came back a day and a half later. So I was basically in labor for about 5 days. It was horrible. And then, luckily, he came out. What was interesting, though, was we almost lost him. The reason why I'm religious isn't so much of what my parents instilled, but it was because we almost lost Stoney. I was, being a doctor, doctors and nurses hate doctors as patients because they think we're going to micromanage. And I want to be cool. And they put me in a room. This was a room at the hospital that had a broken monitor. And I'm like, oh man, really? Of all the luck, do I really have to have the broken monitor? And they're like, look, you're the patient now. So let us handle it. And so I asked them to at least roll up the volume, turn up the volume of the baby heart sounds. This is when I was in labor. And I was waiting for the baby to come. So I finally got my epidural because I was in a slew of pain, and this was now the 26th, so it was earlier in the day, and I was, you know, waiting for me to dilate enough for him to come out. And I start to finally fall asleep because I hadn't slept in 5 days. And I wake up to the baby monitor, the heart sounds, the fetal heart monitor sounds. And the heart sounds were slow. Instead of boom, 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 it was boom, 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 and I woke up to it. So you can't move because you have the epidural. I find the nurse button and I go, guys, I want to look at the monitor. What is the monitor saying right now? Nobody had answered. I go, guys, I need somebody to look at the monitor. All of a sudden, everybody runs in. Apparently, I was in a contraction for about 13 minutes. So they call the OB. The OB luckily was close by. They amnio-infused. They pushed fluid in there. They were going to take me to C-section, but then they're like, then the doctor was like, you know what? No, maybe I could get the baby out with the forceps. Nope. And then maybe let's try the vacuum. Luckily, we were able to stabilize, but then luckily we were able to give birth, and he came out in one piece. But God woke me up for me to listen to that heart rate, and we don't know why he started to decelerate. I don't think it was the cord, but unfortunately, he could have died, and that was supposed to be my final day of labor. So after giving birth to him, I really kind of started to be very cognizant, and I didn't want to micromanage him and his childhood. I was kind of hands off because, again, I wanted him to grow and do his own thing, and I didn't want to do too much, but I definitely kept a watchful eye. Then by the time the second one comes around, you're like, you're on autopilot, buddy. So, you know, now I have a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old. Did I do what I was supposed to? If, God forbid, I'm not here on this earth anymore, can they stand on their own? That's the question we all ask. And we also ask, how the heck, right, did I have a 21-year-old when I still feel like I'm 21? I don't feel like I'm going to be ending my 40s soon and going into the 50s. I don't feel that. I feel like I'm still in my 20s. And now I have a 21-year-old. So you look at your 21-year-old and then you think back, well, what were you doing when you were 21? Well, I was in college, but I was trying to get into medical school. So when I was 21, I was busting my butt. I was working 3 part-time jobs in undergrad. I was trying to get good grades to get into medical school. I was doing research. I was studying for the MCAT. But yeah, I had fun. I went out drinking. I had boyfriends, things like that. So, you know, what's he doing? Well, he's in college. He's having fun. He has a girlfriend. He's in a fraternity. And I think, you know, I did okay. But it's not me. It's him. And for him to be the boy that he is right now and the man he is, despite my not being around and my being a mom whose loyalty a lot of times went to the practice and went to patients first, I worked hours and hours and hours when I really should have been with him. I've always felt guilty about that, but he turned out okay. So what's the point I'm making? Well, the point I'm making is before your kid gets to age 21 or gets to age 18, yeah, or even if they're beyond that, there's always time to be a parent and to intervene and do. Everybody says, you know what, I lost my opportunity if they're into drugs or if they're, you know, no, you always as a parent have that bond. They might backtalk you. They might disrespect you. They might think they know more than you. But that change, that all happens when they start to become preteens. You know, people say, well, gosh, and I didn't work with them when they were 5 years old. There is no way I could have prevented my kids from deciding not to drink a beer at the age of 5. So get that out of your head. You know, I worked a lot when they were babies. I still work a lot. I only see them for a little bit each day. And I think the reason why they're turning out okay, knock on wood, is because they might follow in daddy's and my footsteps. Maybe they watch. Maybe they see our attitudes. Maybe they pick up like a sponge because they're hardly around me. Maybe they pick up on a lot of my, my values, you know, and maybe it is because we introduce a lot of religion. We are very religious, but we introduce religion. So I don't know. But what I don't want people doing is going, you know what? My kids are adults. It's too late. It's not too late. I hate when I hear parents saying it's too late. I should have done something differently. When kids listen to you and look at you like you're a goddess or a god, that's when they're babies. That's when they're toddlers. That's when they're, you know, in grade school. I'm like, yay, mommy, yay, daddy. Once they start to get a little independent, you know, in the middle school range and then high school range, like, really? Don't talk to me. You don't know what you're talking about. Man, you're a boomer. I'm not a boomer. I'm a Gen Xer. Same thing. I mean, my kids call me boomer. So I'm like, can you please look up, you know, what age group I'm in? So there is no, shall we say, magic time and frame, because there's no way you could prevent a 5-year-old from making mistakes they're going to make in their teens, which means don't give up on them when they're teenagers. The teenage years, they really need parenting. And even if you don't think they're going to listen to you or you think they're going to call you a boomer, you still need to say what you need to say because it does soak in. I'm surprised at how much my kids did listen to me and pick up on it, because they will regurgitate something and I'm like, well, I taught you that. No, you didn't. I listened to Joe Rogan or I listened to whatever. I told you that too. So fine. I don't mind if maybe I provided the subliminal baseline. But if you do have a child that's hurting, if you do have a child that you feel like they won't listen to you, there's always help. There's counselors, there's clergy, there's other family members. And if not, if they don't talk to you, get an aunt, get an uncle, get a cousin. There are ways that you could channel what you want to convey to them without it being, well, we're going to have a mommy and dad and kid talk. So, you know, what are we doing tonight? Well, you know, my son, he's turning 21. So, you know, I wanted to give him some time to be with his friends or whatever. And you know what? He said he wanted to go to dinner with us. Now, maybe it's because it's a free meal. Maybe he realized he needs to save money. I don't know. So he wants to at least go to dinner before he enjoys, you know, his 21 traditions. So, it's cool. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. I'm going.
Your life and stay young on the floor. Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The top advisor to the White House coronavirus response team is making a big pitch for congressional passage of the sweeping stimulus bill.
We cannot defeat this virus as rapidly as we need to without action from Congress. This legislation will enable Americans across the country to defeat COVID-19 and get back to normal life more quickly.
Andy Slavitt, though not addressing with reporters why $700 billion of the dollars in the COVID-19 relief plan wouldn't be spent until 2022 or later. President Biden is in Houston, Texas, getting a view of the damage done by last week's Arctic blast. Governor Greg Abbott will be one of the tour guides.
We will express our gratitude for the major disaster declaration already declared, but also explain the need to expand that to additional counties.
USA Radio News. Operation Warp Speed produces a third possible vaccine.
Johnson & Johnson single-dose COVID-19 vaccine, made possible by President Trump's Operation Warp Speed, started the review process for emergency use Friday. With all signs pointing to approval, it would be the third vaccine produced under Operation Warp Speed. Wednesday, the FDA said the J&J vaccine was 66.1% effective in preventing moderate to severe disease and appeared to be safe. Health authorities have been looking forward to adding the new COVID-19 vaccine to their arsenal. Minimal refrigeration and a single shot is simpler by design. Emergency use data is coming from a 44,000-person study from the United States, South Africa, and Brazil. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Personal income is rising thanks in part to stimulus checks the government sent at the end of last year. A report from the Commerce Department shows personal income was up 10% last month. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show, 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we heard that Dr. Walensky is still wanting us to not, I guess, rejoice when it comes to cases falling because the variants are concerning. We have the New York variant, the California variant. These are variants that are going to become more prevalent as the weeks progress. I think we're doing a fantastic job with the vaccine rollout thus far. Still have a lot of people not as enthusiastic, but the other countries are just a lot of other countries are just slowly stepping up to plate with their vaccination rollout, as it's taking time for them to get their vaccine. So one of you had asked about the numbers, where we're at. So with coronavirus cases, according to Worldometers, that I like their numbers. They aren't always on track with other. Everybody has kind of a different number. But overall, they seem to kind of trend pretty accurately. We've had 113.7 million cases of coronavirus. Now, mind you, many of them could be mild. That's an underestimation because many people with coronavirus aren't getting tested. We've had 2.5 million deaths. 90 million people have recovered. Of the 91,000 closed case, or the 91 million or 92 million closed cases, 90,286 recovered, which is 97%. 3% though of them died. That's 2.5 million. So 3% of the population dying that got COVID, that is concerning. Of the active cases now, we have 22 million currently infected patients that have been documented. 21.8 are mild. 21.8 million. The serious or critical, however, comprises 0.4%, or we have 91,529 still in serious or critical condition. This is why, even though daily new cases are slowly trending down and daily deaths are trending down, we still have almost 100,000 people that are in the hospital and being in the world, obviously, 100,000 people in the world that are being, you know, addressed or being taken care of. In the U.S., we have 15,800 tabulated as being in serious or critical condition. So, again, you know, I don't care. I mean, I do care, but I don't think the economy needs to stop and our lives have to be on hold when people get the sniffles. Right? But with the urging to reopening, it will really depend on how many people are hospitalized. Now, we have maybe 10 million, about 9 to 10 million active cases right now. 15,000 of them are in serious critical condition. That's a low percentage based overall, which is why people are saying open up. And 15,800 were hopefully still within the realm of we have extra hospital beds. But that number is still too high. India is still clocking more cases. Russia, the UK, Italy, Turkey, Germany, but Mexico. Mexico, over the last few hours, it looks like they've had another 877 cases. I'm sorry, 877 new deaths, 8,400 new cases. Now, Mexico has about 2 million cases, 183,000 deaths total since the pandemic began. And I'm watching Mexico very closely because we are looking at loosening our immigration policies and loosening our border patrol. Well, if Mexico was seeing surges, that's something the Biden administration needs to be aware of. We also have to realize that many people of different cultures might not be going to the doctor and getting tested. There might be some people who are dying where there's not an autopsy. Some religions don't want autopsy or testing. They just want the person buried. So with, you know, we might be doing things one way in the United States, but in other cultures and other countries and other races, things might be done a little differently. So we can't compare other countries' numbers to ours, unfortunately. It's like apples and oranges. But if they are, you know, if they do have a protocol where anybody that looks like COVID is getting tested and then being brought to the hospital, and we're talking including in, you know, the more rural areas, you know, then the numbers could parallel, obviously. So in terms of California and Texas, California has had 51,000 deaths. So they lead the states with the most amount of deaths. Keep in mind, they also have the highest population. Their population is about 40 million people. So New York's population is about 19.4 million people. So California is the most populous state. So, yeah, we're going to unfortunately see more. New York, though, however, had 47,600 deaths. So for New York to have half the number of cases, they had 1.6 million cases versus California's 3.5. For New York having half the number of cases but almost the same amount number of deaths just makes you wonder, is it because of their previous you know, early number reporting where, you know, they didn't have enough COVID tests or COVID tests, so they were chalking them up to COVID deaths, or did they have a more serious strain? So New York still has new cases, new deaths. Illinois had some more cases in the last few hours. Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. These are now actually, Pennsylvania's recorded 69 deaths. North Carolina, 49 more deaths. Arizona, 83. Indiana, 37. South Carolina, 34. Alabama, 38. Minnesota had another 12. Louisiana, 26. Oklahoma, 18. Maryland, 33. Mississippi, 25. So, you know, the Dakotas, South Dakota had 7, North Dakota had 1. Iowa still had about 532 new cases. They've loosened their mask. I don't think they have the mask mandate anymore. And from what I hear in Iowa, there really wasn't a lot of enforcement of it. They, you know, kind of paralleled Washington State in terms of their numbers of deaths, in terms of their numbers of cases. So that's interesting. Of course, Iowa has a much smaller population than Washington. So I keep getting asked, did we need to bunker down? Did we need to lock down? Did we need to do the masks? I don't know if I could play Monday morning quarterback with that yet. Because, you know, when you look at Florida, for example, Florida, they just announced another 141 deaths. So their total death toll is 30,626. Their population is 21 million. As opposed to California's almost 40 million. So they have maybe 48% the population. They still had a higher death rate. So California or Nevada or these states that had very, very strict mask measures and lockdowns could claim that they saved lives. Did they save enough lives for it to count? That's going to be up for debate. People, unfortunately, don't want to say what, you know, some people think need to be said. That, you know, whether you did the lockdowns or not, people died. And so, you know, if people are going to die anyway, do we still move on with our lives? Remember a congressperson had brought that up early on in the pandemic and said, look, I mean, we're going to have to be okay with people dying. A congressperson said that and they were just vilified. And unfortunately, it is. It's not a good optic. It's not a great soundbite. But what he was trying to say, which now a lot of parents are saying, which a lot of people are saying is, look, you know, there's going to be people that continue to die. People die every day in America. We don't want people to die, but we can't stop business and commerce and life as we know it and prayer and church and, you know, because we're worried about, you know, people dying. We can't stop deaths. And that's what I also think the numbers are reflective of. I mean, you know, California did severe lockdown measures and they still had 51,000 people die. The states with stricter lockdowns still didn't evade people dying. If you could show me that you dropped the death rates in minuscule, I might listen and say, you know what, guys, maybe, you know, we could do this a little better. But when despite the masks, despite everything going on, you know, cases still rose, hospitals were still overwhelmed, you can't keep whipping people into masks and social distancing. It didn't work. Everybody's kind of sick of it. They're fatigued. You know, when our state wasn't opening up, I saw people on social media saying, see, guys, you needed to wear your masks. Everybody in my state's been wearing a mask. They've been doing the mask. 1-877-DOC-VALLEY. Don't go away.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence. intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not so convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We are back at the Dr. Dahlia show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So American diplomats in China had been subjected to anal swab tests for coronavirus. Remember I told you that in China they were being a little bit more invasive when it came to swabbing for coronavirus? And apparently the diplomats complained that the procedure was undignified and told staff to decline the test if asked to take one. Now, Beijing has since claimed the test mandatory for incoming travelers in some parts of China, but they did say that that test was, quote, given in error as diplomatic personnel were exempt. Can you imagine, right, you know, being there on a diplomatic mission and told to drop your pants because they don't want to do the basic, typical nasal or pharyngeal swab? So, China apparently denied any knowledge of carrying out that type of test on American diplomats. They said, apparently, to collect the samples, and I think I wrote an article on this, the swab needs to be inserted into the rectum about 3 to 5 centimeters, then rotated several times, so it could take about 10 seconds. After completing the motion twice, the swab is removed before being securely placed into the sample container. So the Beijing began using this method more frequently during a mass testing drive after a 9-year-old boy tested positive for the virus last month. Within a matter of days in January, more than 3 million residents in 3 Beijing districts had to receive coronavirus testing to try to stem the contagion. And so a U.S. source told Vice that the State Department never agreed to this kind of testing and protested directly to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs when we learned that some staff was subjected to it. Well, that has to stink. Man, literally. Now, of course, Foreign Ministry spokesperson Zhao Lihan told a daily news briefing in the Chinese capital, to my knowledge, China has never required U.S. diplomatic staff stationed in China to conduct anal swab tests. So who's lying? I'm going to probably believe the Americans. That's really not something you would want to admit you had to do. I don't really see anybody making that one up. So the State Department said they were committed to guaranteeing the safety and security of American diplomats and their families while preserving their dignity. So, you know, many, I guess, there's been false negatives and false positives with many of the nasal pharyngeal and the nasal swabs and the pharyngeal swabs. Nasal pharyngeal is where that swab has to go all the way to the back of the nose, to the back of the throat. I mean, you practically gag. A nasal swab is just where it kind of is in the nose superficially. And then the pharyngeal swab is where they get the back of the throat. And, you know, it's interesting because when I swab for strep, people don't like it because they gag. And, you know, you touch the tonsils, but you have to get a good sample and you got to go all the way around. When you do a pap smear sample, you need to rotate that brush like 8 to 10 times. I mean, you have to take a good sample. And people start to kind of duck and fidget. And, you know, so the person collecting the sample looks says, I don't have time for this. So apparently they found less false negatives with the anal route. So they think that these swabs could avoid missing infections, as we know that the virus can last longer times in fecal samples. They also said that the stool tests are more effective in finding infections in children as infants because apparently they have more of a higher viral load in their waist than they do in their sinus cavities and throat. So, but there's still been a lot of debate on if anal swabs really need to be done. I mean, yeah, I have a big problem right now of people who I think have COVID wanting to get tested. Still, as I see patients, they call in, they have the symptoms, they have the fatigue, or they have the cough, you know, or they have the dizziness, or the brain fog, or fever, or whatnot, and I ask them to, all right, go and get tested, you know, because I don't want you going back to work unless we know you're negative, and I want you to isolate, and they're like, no, I do not have COVID. And I'm like, well, how do you know? They go, because I had COVID before, and it was different. COVID can be different the second time. I really believe you can get COVID twice. You can get COVID 3 times. You do have antibodies. The antibodies are supposed to give you some sort of immunity. But we're seeing people get sick a whole other time. And the other thing, too, is even if it's not COVID, if you have a cold or a sinus infection, I mean, you have some sort of an infection. You could be contagious. What I find very frustrating is we're doing all this for COVID, Yet nobody cares about flu. Nobody cares about strep pneumonia. You know, I'm coughing, I'm spewing, I have blood in my sputum, I have a fever, but it's not COVID, so let me go back to work. And I'm like, if you have pneumonia, I don't want you coughing on somebody and giving them that. Can't you stay home for that? But no, we went to work with pneumonia. We've gone to work with staff. We've gone to work with infections before. The only time you don't have to go to work is if you have COVID. Now, originally, we had another problem. Early on in the pandemic, people were saying, I think I have COVID, so I need to stay home. Well, now, people are less likely to say that because they don't want to have to get a test. They don't want to have to prove they're negative to come back. So many people are tired of not working, and they need the money. They need the income because they haven't been getting the additional $600 a week with their unemployment insurance. So they've been kind of more inclined to go, no, it's not COVID. I just have a cold. So, good news on the horizon. Johnson & Johnson looks like it's going to get approved. It looks like it is going to clear U.S. regulatory hurdles over the next day, possibly by this weekend. It is a vector. We talked about an adenovirus vector vaccine. It has a durable protein exterior encasing DNA. DNA has a longer shelf life than messenger RNA and doesn't need as many cold regimens, which, by the way, Pfizer was able to overcome recently, which we'll talk about. So, Johnson & Johnson is only a one-shot dose. It is not as effective as Pfizer or Moderna. Pfizer was 95% protective against severe disease. Moderna, 94.1% effective. But Johnson & Johnson had a 66.9% efficacy. That's still better than the flu shot. You know, what about real-world conditions? Though some people are concerned that that number will drop in real-world conditions, but look at what happened with Pfizer. Pfizer's real-world test was the study in Israel. And Pfizer was still shown to be 94% effective in Israel. So, if somebody said, look, you'll get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, I'll take it. I mean, I'm already halfway through my Pfizer vaccine. I'm getting my second dose tomorrow. But Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is stable. It could be stable up to 2 years at a negative 20 degrees Celsius. It could be at least 3 months at 2 to 8 degrees Celsius. Moderna's vaccine can last at negative 20 degrees Celsius for 6 months, 2 to 8 degrees Celsius for 30 days. So it can last longer. So we don't have as much of an issue. We got to give away the shots. We got to give out all the shots. We're going to waste them. And there's a little bit more wiggle room. Pfizer was the one that had to be ultra cold at a negative 80 degrees Celsius and a negative 60 degrees Celsius for up to 6 months. That just got changed. Pfizer vaccine you could use in 16 and 17 year olds. So far, the rest of them have to be 18 on up. There are studies right now looking at how it's going to, how it's going to work and safety profiles in kids. So with Pfizer having their shipping and storage temperatures eased up, now their 2-week storage can be between negative 25 degrees Celsius and negative 15 degrees Celsius. That could be pharmaceutical freezer temperature, and that could work. So that allows more flexibility. This approval now allows it to, you know, because I think what happened is the shot had to be distributed. They had to act fast. If there were shots left behind, they had to throw them out. You know, now that this cold chain allows more ease. So I think we are going to see a speed up. Now, the change does not apply to thawed vials. The thawed vials can last in the refrigerator for 5 days before dilution, 6 hours after dilution. So once they dilute it, you do have to speed up. But at least, you know, it could stay the weekend in a freezer and not be too much of an issue. 1-877, Dr. Ali, don't go away.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$6,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus. A 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.